Adam Cravens, and Jane Ellen watch more movies each month than most people do in a year. Parental guidance suggested reviews new movies in theaters with no spoilers promise. These film nerds know their stuff.
Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And this podcast, we may discuss a movie of note, but things are changing and changing quickly. So I thought we would bring you up to date with what we know regarding movies and theaters and
the
like.
They are a change.
Are they not? So, again, you spoke about the movie Tenet a while ago, and then I was so disappointed that David Tennant wasn't in it. I thought, whatever.
Or that it's not about people that want to get an apartment so that
right.
they can be tenants in it. No, it's none of those things.
Well, that would have been Rent, right? Wasn't that about that?
Could be. Yes, I believe that and diseases.
And The Apartment.
Yes.
The Apartment was a weird movie.
Also not solely about apartments.
No, not at all. Anyway, Tenet now has a firm release date. Well, now, that's subject to change. But now, it is coming out July 31st, and we'll talk about it in a second. The first movie of note that is going to be in theaters, allegedly, maybe, probably, is Mulan. Because
it's holding the, what is it, the,
July
the
24th.
Mid-July? Okay. It's later than,
Never
two, than the initial.
Never at Dusk. And Wonder Woman kept getting moved back. Now it's going to be sometime in the fall. But the first one that's supposed to be out is July 24th, Mulan, so you'll be back in theater. I'm back!
I'm still really sad that Mushu is not...
Mushu's not in it in any way? Well, that's wrong.
I guess there's a lot of people that saw that movie and didn't... Like, Eddie Murphy was essentially like the genie from Aladdin in that movie.
Right.
And if I'm going to remake that movie, like, the first thing I'm doing is asking Eddie Murphy what he's up to. Like... If Robin Williams had have still been alive, I imagine they would have asked him to reprise the role of the genie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you make Mulan. I mean, I do. Like, the real story didn't actually have Mushu in it. But
are you sure?
I'm reasonably certain it did not have a cartoony talking dragon.
So there's a real Mulan?
Yeah, it's based on a true story.
Well, I didn't know that.
I mean, I don't know how much of it, like, it's based on a true story in as much as, like, Pocahontas, Disney's Pocahontas was based on a true story. I think they embellished a lot of those elements.
So, Mulan was supposed to come out in March. Critics have seen it. And so far, on IMDb, they've given it a 5.4 out of 10. Now, that being said, and having not seen the movie, the trailer alone deserves a 6.5.
It's got a solid trailer.
Yeah.
But I've seen a lot of movies that had fantastic trailers that I got into the movie and just went, oh, well, they put the 2 minutes worth of good things.
Yes. But a 4.4, did I say 4? I've already forgotten.
It was about half-mast, was what you were saying.
All right. So I'm seeing Jason Scott Lee is in it, and Jet Li is in it, and yet... And, I'm sorry,
and
Gong Lee is in it.
And are any of those Lees spelled the same way?
They are not. And I find that fascinating. I do. I don't know. Gong Lee and Jet Li is spelled the same.
Now, I will say most of your live-action Disney adaptations are usually of varying quality.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't dislike Beauty and the Beast, but, they essentially just Xeroxed the animated one.
Right.
I didn't hate the Aladdin that we got, but I also really liked the cartoon a whole lot more. It's a good way to make $1 billion at this point, but I also haven't liked any of them more than I liked their animated counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
So going into this, like you're telling me that it's, you know, 4.5 or a 5.4 or whatever it was, I'm not expecting to like this more than I liked the, 1998
mm-hmm.
Mulan. So if it surpasses that, like, great. But at this point, the track record is, well, I'm not going to like this as much as its animated counterpart, but it's something to do, and the kids usually like it.
Now, all of the songs have been deleted. However, there are instrumental versions of the original film's songs, which I appreciate.
Well, at least you're kind of respecting what what came before it.
Right. I do appreciate that. And for some people, they haven't seen the animated one. For some people, this could be the only time they've seen it, so they really don't have a point of reference.
And basically what they're trying to do with it as well, like even if you have seen the original Mulan, it feels at least like from the previews that I've seen, like they're not making the same movie. They're based on similar, like they're based on the same thing, but they're...
I don't know what you're saying because my mind just got broken.
Well, fair enough. Let's...
I'm scanning this about the music and I'm reading and you're talking. And then I see that they're talking with, what is he billed as? Matthew Wilder, who previously co-wrote the songs for the original film, revealed that the remake will feature a new version of the song Reflection. Do you know who Matthew Wilder is?
Not.
Yes, but you do.
Probably.
Ain't nothing gonna break my stride.
Fair enough. Okay, yeah, then I did, yes.
I had no idea
that he
wrote the songs.
Well, I don't think Disney...
That made the whole world sing.
Disney did not promote that as heavily as they did then, say, when Elton John was co-writing with Tim Rice on Lion King.
I'd like to also add, I didn't even know he was alive. I thought, you know how sometimes someone passes away that, like, oh, in my mind.
I can take comfort in the fact that no one is ever going to have to worry about saying that about me. Because they'll just be like, Adam Cravens was relevant once. Is he still alive?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was never relevant, so nobody ever has to worry about just going, isn't he dead? Mm-hmm. I thought he's dead. I haven't heard about him in a minute.
Wow. I just, see, that's one of the reason I'm shocked at this is because that little tidbit, which I will now never forget, nor will you, it's the kind of garbage we tote around with us all the time.
I can kind of hear it now that you're saying that about the original. Like, I'm playing, like, the I'll Make a Man Out of You. Like,
yeah.
I'm listening to it now and going, okay, all right. It's like after you find out Michael Jackson wrote a lot of the instrumental stuff in Sonic the Hedgehog mm-hmm. 3, and you start listening to the music in the game and just going, this is absolutely like the backbeat in a Michael Jackson song. I don't know how I didn't see it before.
Yeah. Now, what is also a nice nod to the original, Reflection was sung by Christina Aguilera, and she has sung Loyal, Brave, and True. They already released that song. And so that's nice because she was like 16 when she did Reflection and then cursed us for every single person who performed on American Idol to try to sing that song like Xtina.
I can't really do anything like Christina Aguilera, so it's never really been an issue of mine.
Yeah. So live action Mulan is wonderful in that... Unlike films, let's say this film was made in 1949.
Or let's say that John Wayne was going to star in it. Is that where you're headed with
yes.
this? Yes.
And let's say I did watch Katharine Hepburn in a film where she was a Chinese woman.
Well, I mean, even if you want to go back
though
to
Though actually,
the,
it really wasn't a stretch for her. I didn't think it would work.
If you want to even look at the original Mulan, Donny Osmond is not of that descent at all. Nor do I think he should probably be telling anybody how to be a man. Like, when I think of masculinity, and I think of, like, the brawny man, or, like, men riding horse, I am not sitting there going, where's Donny Osmond? He could teach me a thing or two about masculinity.
So, just because you need to know this, the reason I saw Dragon Seed with Katharine Hepburn is because it was free in a library and I didn't have any manner of seeing anything except the VHS and the TV that had no cable. And so I went, oh, I've never heard of this Katharine Hepburn movie that came out in 1944. Where
and then
she,
you're like, that's why.
She is a woman in a peaceful Chinese village. And it's like, wow, they're really going through with this. It is a good movie after you take away the part that everyone is Chinese but Katharine Hepburn. But it is easier to pull off on her than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I can say.
I mean, you know,
it, in as much as people can accept Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and just be like, why is Robin Hood not
right.
speaking with a British accent
Mickey
in
Rooney
any way?
In yeah. Breakfast at Tiffany's. This is. It's I a, can almost.
I think it's slightly better than Mickey Rooney, yeah. but like I still think it's definitely a. We should have rethought this.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Natalie Wood, well, she got to be Native American and Puerto Rican because I guess she's a brunette.
It was a different time.
It was.
And evidently, you could just cast any. Okay, Sean Connery was a Russian submarine captain in Hunt for Red October. And, like, he doesn't even pretend.
And that's what I love about it.
Like, he's just sitting there going, yes, yes, the submarine. Make it. Like, I'm like, you're not, that's not even.
And it didn't matter. We still love the movie.
It's not even, like, a bad Russian accent. He just went, nah, I'm doing it Scottish.
So, you're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, brought to you by Hintz and Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens, basically about what's about to happen with theaters and the movies coming out. So Mulan is coming out first at the moment on July 24th. And so we are recording this on June 22nd, maybe?
Right around.
Sure. Something like that. So we got like 6 weeks-ish.
Sounds about
four,
right.
Four, five. Yeah. I don't know. We have less than 2 months before this is allegedly happening. So this is what I've read. Where we are, because I know you could be listening to us anyway. Where we are, AMC, in our little town. It's an Art Garfunkel song. In our little town, AMC is the only option right here. And from what I've read, AMC is going to do distance seating. Everyone who enters will have to wear a mask and I guess have their temperature checked, I guess.
I don't know about the
I do know about the mask.
The mask will be necessary.
Now, I go to the theater mostly to see sci-fi movies really big and for the popcorn, and then for me to either complain about it or say how good it was, to eat half of a trough of it and then go, oh, I really should have stopped. Now I feel sick. And that's part of the joy.
How are you going to do that?
Yeah, I have looked everywhere. I don't see any mention of popcorn. However, I don't see how it would be that different than you going to pick up something or go to a drive-thru and have someone hand it through to you with, you know, the shields and stuff. Right?
Well, I mean, okay.
I mean, French fry, well, they're coming out of hot oil. Popcorn is kind of, it is coming out of hot oil. I don't know.
I mean, we also all know that most of the money made by a theater is mm-hmm. off its concessions. So I think it's very well assumed they're going to be pulling those masks up in order to eat the popcorn or hot dog or whatever it is that you have decided to purchase from this place. But I think it's probably the reason why they originally just went, masks will not be necessary. Or they understand that they're in a very confusing, like, economic point mm-hmm. at the theater, and they don't want to turn anybody away either. There are correct answers depending on the way that you're looking at the issues. Like,
yes.
If AMC and Regal are at the point that they're saying they're not going to release Universal movies, that's a really different place than we were in, say, a year ago at this time. Like, Jurassic World, whatever they're calling the third one, it's either just resumed filming or is it just about to resume filming.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Universal movie. You're telling me at this point, because they haven't said after Universal released Trolls and they said, you know, you
release the Trolls.
Not like that. I don't think they did it like that. It wasn't Lord of the Ringsy. It was here to VOD, which is a lot less exciting and stupid.
And I had really hoped. I mean, in March, well, I was incredibly sick in March. In April, I would have really enjoyed seeing this Mulan because I wanted to see it. And I mean,
I think both
Disney
of
Plus.
We even, before they shut it all down, you and I had mentioned mm-hmm. that we were excited about seeing Mulan.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had mentioned before Tenet got pushed back that we were excited about that. Or, I mean, any number of movies that are now like being released mm-hmm. in the fall.
So now, Tenet. Mulan is going to be what they're betting the family on. because you know the story, and much like Aladdin, they think it's going to make money, and it might, and I hope it does.
It has the Disney brand on it. So, I mean, like, if you're going to sell, come back to the theaters, like, I really can't think of anybody better than, like, a big Disney product out there on the forefront. And for better or for worse, Christopher Nolan's kind of like Alfred Hitchcock if he used a semi-automatic. Like, I mean, just the movies are really well made. Like, Inception was huge. The Dark Knight trilogy was huge. Like, even his smaller movies are just fantastic. Like, The Prestige, if you haven't seen that, it's a really great movie.
And Memento stays with me. I've only seen it once, and that just blew my mind.
It's, if you haven't seen it, like, it's well worth your time. Like, Christopher Nolan knows how to construct, like, if you give him $200 million to make a movie, or you give him $20 to make a movie, the guy is going to make something that you probably want to keep your eyes on for the full 2 hours. So, like, if these are your guys leading your charge, I definitely see that as putting your best foot forward.
So, Tenet, I was watching the trailer and just thought, oh, I really need to see this. Even, it made me want to see it more. So, I love that Michael Caine is in it. I love that Michael Caine is in so many movies.
I love that apparently after Batman Begins, Christopher Nolan couldn't not put Michael Caine in him. He's just like, yeah, what are you doing? Yeah, well, we've got a part for you. Have you got one written? No, just show up. We'll put you in it in some way.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to sound strange, but I feel like this could be a new career move, casting-wise, for Robert Pattinson.
Well, I mean, the guy is all... Funny enough, he did get word that he got cast in the new Batman while he was working on this movie with Christopher Nolan. So I would have loved to have gotten to hear that conversation where he's just like, oh, Chris, did you hear? I'm the new Batman. And Chris is like, oh, I know something about Batman. Not for nothing, after Joel Schumacher, like, threw the thing into a dumpster and set it on fire, I made a billion-dollar Batman movie. I don't know if you knew that, but I did. Except he said it, like, with a British accent.
Yes. And, again, this sounds silly because he's 34 years old, but in the trailer, Robert Pattinson isn't playing look at my cheekbones and I have a lovely accent, Robert Pattinson. Not that he's playing that, but you know what I mean. Teen idly looking. He was engaging. I enjoyed what he was doing with the character.
Right.
And it wasn't, just look at him.
As much as he was the guy from Twilight, and like for a couple years he was, I will also remind you, another guy that Christopher Nolan cast used to be a pretty boy, like teen idol as well, like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, that's exactly
when he cast him in Inception.
Of.
Yeah, like there was a point in time that I could not have cared less about Leonardo DiCaprio. I was like, get that pretty boy out of my face. But like, then I kept watching the movies he made after he kind of got that clout from being in the highest grossing film of all time, and I'm like, oh wow, that kid from Growing Pains knows how to act.
Yes, I feel that if this movie turns out as I think it will, then the Batman wave of disappointment, for those who haven't even seen it, because it hasn't even been made, but they're already mad about it, I think that will turn the tide for him. For some of them.
I was not thrilled about that casting when I initially heard it. But I also was kind of curious whenever they cast Heath Ledger. Like, I was sitting there going, 10 Things I Hate About You? Really? That's the guy you want to play the Joker?
I really loved him in Roar, the TV show he did with Ron Howard.
But I'm also sitting there going, you know, Christopher Nolan, at that point had done, he had done Batman Begins, he had done The Following, he had done Memento, and I want to say one other movie. But I was just like, okay, you know, this guy seems to know what he's doing. I loved Batman Begins. Let's see what he's got to do. Matt Reeves did the latter two of the new Planet of the Apes trilogy. I enjoy that guy's work.
And I enjoyed those.
And, like, I've liked almost everything. Like, the new Batmobile, I'm enjoying that. Like, I'm just sitting there going, I don't like that bit of casting, but like I'm sure whenever in 1988, whenever they announced like Mr. Mom was playing Batman, that there were, if the internet had have existed then, people would have been on it like up in arms. But Michael Keaton as Batman also turned out just fine.
Mm-hmm. Because that confused me. Michael Keaton as Batman? Anyway,
your Beetlejuice is going to play Batman? Yeah. Yeah, he did. Played the heck out of him.
So Tenet is the word that these people know as they fight for the survival of the entire world. The protagonist with the capital P. So I guess that guy doesn't have a name. He's just the protagonist?
Well, I would... Or Christopher Nolan also doesn't let anything out about his movies before
True
the,
that.
Like, he is... In as much as, like, you keep, like, what's going on in a Star Wars movie under wraps before it comes out, or a Marvel movie. Like, everything this guy does.
Kenneth Branagh is in it, and he said, in order to say his lines, he had to ask Christopher Nolan, so, what's my motivation? Because that could have something to do with how I deliver it. Because he didn't know where the character was going.
Well, I don't... Again, like, no one sent me a script, so I don't know this conclusively.
I know, and I'm not happy about that.
But, like, I guess no one had full scripts.
No.
I mean, Christopher Nolan.
From what I've read,
does.
No one had full scripts.
And as I understand it, Christopher Nolan personally delivered some of these to the cast members like he wanted. He just, like, I want you to read this. You can't see any of the rest of it. Which, I'm going to tell you, like... In a time when we can email like on our phones and take quick pictures of things, that's a pretty good way of making sure it doesn't get out there. Like,
now, that being said, if you and I were cast in a movie
right.
like this, and we were both hand-delivered a script, I totally know that we would read each other's scripts.
Well, I'm going to assume he also took them like back.
Oh, he took just them
like,
back.
He's like, after he reads them, he's like, thank you.
Oh, that would do it.
And I would say, like, and a director and an actor like Kenneth Branagh, who, like, has done, like, Shakespeare, like, has done stuff. I'm sure trying to find your motivation when you're not allowed to read it
mm-hmm.
has got to be a weird place, like, for him. But they also did Dunkirk together, mm-hmm. I believe. So you have to trust like the director and the writer
trust
enough.
Trust the process, man.
Well, I mean, you literally have to trust that guy that he's not going to make you look like an idiot, because mm-hmm. it's not like you can be like, this story is excellent. I love this. You've just got enough to go by just going like, oh, those Dark Knight movies, those were pretty good. Dunkirk, I like that. Inception, that was solid. Okay, all right.
So I've been trying to get what this is about, and the word has something to do with it, and they can not just... travel through time more like bend it. Not so much like Beckham.
No.
But
that would be it. That would be an interesting turn at the end of the movie.
I know. So now I'm wondering, bend time.
What I'm getting from this, like, if you ever saw, I want to say it was 95, if you ever saw Time Cop back in the 90s, it's a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. It's probably Jean-Claude Van Damme's best movie, but that's not saying a lot either.
Is that the Splits on the Counter movie?
That is literally every Jean-Claude.
Oh!
He finds a way to, he's just like, where are there two chairs?
Again,
where are there two chairs for me to do the splits
if
on?
If I could do that.
They're like, you're on a hockey rink, Jean-Claude. And he's like, well, I need two chairs. If I cannot do splits, I will not do movie.
If I could do that, I would show, look what I learned to do. Boom. Thank you.
But in every movie?
Sure. Like, The Rock has the eyebrow. He's got the splits.
I don't think he does that in every
movie.
No,
but in my mind he does.
Okay, fair
just
enough.
Like Will Smith goes, oh, hell no, in
he
every
should.
Movie.
Or at least at the bare minimum it needs to be in the outtakes.
Mm-hmm.
But Van Damme did a movie called Time Cop. And it's basically about, like, the movie opens and, like, there's this guy who's went back in time with machine guns to rob, like, this, it's sometime in the Civil War, they're transporting, like, gold, and he kills everybody in it mm-hmm. pretty easily, because they've all got, like, you know, muskets and just stuff that is not going to be able to stand up. Yeah, I mean, more or less, yeah. And then you've got another guy that is going back in time to just before the Great Depression. He's buying stock, or it may be slightly after, going in, basically just getting stocks for pennies
mm-hmm.
on the dollar, and then traveling 70 years into the future so that, like, now he's that they have
okay,
to go through.
That's kind of a really good idea.
But it's a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, so, like, all of the good really starts going out the door. But, like, the concept for it, like, they even turned it into a very short-lived TV series. And when I say short-lived, like, I think it lasted 2 episodes.
Oh, I mean, shorter than Manimal.
Like, short. Like, wow. You're 2 steps away from just being canceled before you ever air. But it's a great concept, having police that have to monitor, like, temporal incursions. Like, you can't go back in time and, you know, give yourself forbidden knowledge about the stock market. Uh-huh. You can't go back in time and rob, like, you know, somebody in the 1860s of the gold that they're transporting around.
You can't go back and kill Hitler.
But, like I said, all the good is after that initial idea where you're just like, wow, that's a cool concept, but then it's just dumb. This seems like somebody went, you know what's cool? Time Cop. But you know what would be better? What could you do different with time? They're like, we could make a good movie this time. And they're like, that's the kind of ideas we need.
Keep
right,
them coming.
Here, keep that. Do good instead of Drek. That's great. What's number two? I think
we've got it.
Holy
here.
Cow! Let's
greenlight that.
I'm going to take this to the executive in charge of production.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see Tenet. Even though at the moment I can't really tell anyone anything about it except it has something to do with time.
As someone whose favorite film is Back to the Future, like, really, that's about all you have to do to at least get me to listen to what you're saying. They'll be like, well, Adam, time travel. And I'll be like, mm-hmm, go on. Yes,
I'm
listening. 1.21 gigawatts of intensity is about to hit you.
Yeah, serious intensity. So after Tenet, let me just make sure I have all of my little notes here. After Tenet, the next big move has been Wonder Woman has been pushed to fall, and
I think No Time to Die has also been pushed to sometime in November, which is the supposedly final Daniel Craig Bond movie.
Ah, okay. Which, really?
I will remind you, Daniel Craig became James Bond 1 year after Christopher Nolan did his first Batman. So, like, he's been James Bond at this point for almost 15 years.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
in my mind, he's the new Bond.
Well, technically you're not wrong, Jane, but I'm just saying, like, he's not the new Bond in that, like, he just came out of the shrink wrap. Like, I want to say, not Dalton, Roger Moore did it for almost the same amount of time, but Roger Moore looked a little bit more long in the tooth than than Craig does at mm-hmm. the end of his. Like,
yeah,
honest to goodness, I
could keep
if they did
Craig.
2 more Daniel Craig movies, like, I'd be fine with that. Like, he's probably my favorite James Bond, all due respect to Sean Connery.
Yes, I would have to agree with that, because I love parts of all of them. And Sean Connery, much like Shatner, we just love him because he's Sean Connery.
And they're both from the 60s.
Yeah. But Bond, for me, Daniel Craig is like, I could totally believe that guy is James Bond.
Well, when he starts, like, beating up 5 guys simultaneously, like, I buy it. Like, I understand it's all big and fantastic, yeah, and it's not realistic, but, like, the intensity that guy throws down, I'm just like, yeah, I believe that. When Connery did it, like, it's about 2 steps away from being an Austin Powers movie. Like, they're very tongue-in-cheek to the point that I'm just like, I almost can't take you seriously. And like I said, I have all the respect in the world for Dr. No and From Russia with Love.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they're very different films from a very different time period. And, like, I saw Casino Royale and I'm just like, wow.
And you're not talking about the Peter Sellers
no,
Casino Royale.
No. I'm talking about the 2006 Casino Royale.
And yet, I've seen the Peter Sellers Casino Royale so many times.
Going back to what we were saying earlier about Mulan, like, very different takes on very similar source material.
Mm-hmm. So it really will be interesting to see how it all plays out. Not every state will be able to open up theaters. But this is supposed to be a global thing. And so globally, theaters will be open. So it's going to affect how much it makes. And it could affect how long it plays because you can't have as many people in the theater.
Well, but, and this is a probably the first time in at least as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's always, you know, 10 movies playing at the theater because they're recycling them over from the previous
week. That's right.
Week.
They could play it in every one, right?
I'm just saying, like, okay, whenever Mulan opens, what else is going to be playing in that theater except Mulan?
I didn't even think of that.
Or when Mulan and Tenet are playing, like, I'm just saying, like, do you put those in five theaters and, like, have them spaced, like, is there a 7, a 7:15, a 7:45, and an 8? Because...
How about a 7 and a 7:05?
Or are you going to pipe back in movies that are hypothetically already on Blu-ray or DVD? Like, what are you filling all those theaters with if not Mulan and Tenet?
And are you not defeating the purpose of trying to keep people apart by having them all show up at the same time even though they go to a different theater? I have seen so many situations the past few weeks where in Tennessee, social distancing doesn't exist. Wearing a mask and social distancing doesn't exist. It's almost like COVID-19 doesn't exist in Tennessee. So I don't think it's going to work well if we've got a 7 o'clock movie of Tenet and a 7:15 of Mulan because the rush is all going to be there at the same place until they get into the theater.
Right. But like, I mean, unless you're, like, roping off, like, parts of it. I have not had to sit there and work out all the logistics of all of this. But I'm also sitting there going, well, how do you get around that? Or the fact that your common exceptions or thoughts or this is how we've always done it. I mean, like I said, what else is playing in those movie theaters? Like, whenever they open on July 15th, are all 10 theaters playing Mulan?
Mm-hmm.
Like what are you doing? Are you playing older movies? Like, and if you're playing older movies, why don't I just watch my DVD or my digital copy or
the popcorn? So I guess we don't really have any answers, but theaters are supposed to be opening up where they can, but they will not. Nothing is going to be like you remember it. And I don't know if it ever will go back to being like you remember it.
Not
some stuff may.
Or at the bare minimum, not very soon.
Right, not very soon. So for a while, this is the normal. And maybe the normal is we all go to the theater to see the movie. Because everything else is either on demand or you're just watching whatever you're watching. Which I'm not really opposed to that either, because it gotten to the point for me where I only go see a movie if it's a big event to me. Because there are some movies that we've reviewed a lot of movies. And some, it's like, well, sure, I went to the theater, but do I really need to see this in a theater?
Well, and I mean, if you're talking about, like, let's say it's Friday night and you're taking your family, like, financial, it's not like a commitment like you're buying a house, but I mean, like,
it's a lot.
If people are getting popcorn and drinks and like tickets and gas and everything, I mean, bare minimum, if you've got, you know, a family of like five, including you, the, you know, husband and wife, like, you're probably talking about like a $50-$60 investment. Not saying,
my family of four, we're talking $80, and that's the cheapest we can go to the movies.
Well, I'm saying, like, and there's eight of us, so like, I am looking for discount tickets. I'm looking for, like, buy one, get ones. I'm looking for coupon codes on apps and using multiple apps so that I can get the different buy one, get ones. Or I'm buying a DVD of something so that I can get the $5 off like this or a $10 toward. Like, I have to be smart about it or I will go broke taking them to the theater. Like,
and you don't take them to every single movie.
No. Like, I mean, again, it is your events. Like, you know, the kids like Pixar movies, they like Star Wars movies, they like Marvel movies. The big ones I will try to make sure that they get to go see, but like Peanut Butter Falcon, I wasn't just like, let's load up the family. Let's go, guys. That was just one that I was like, well, I've got to review something this week. This is what I'm going to review.
Yeah. So I do look forward to seeing these movies, and if they have changed things rather quickly, maybe it won't happen, or maybe it will. Either way, I am looking forward to these movies. Very much so.
Well, listen, like as somebody that has been doing this podcast with you for, I think, almost 2 years at this point, and essentially had up until like COVID shut the theaters down, I was watching at least a film a week. Like, obviously, like somebody that does that enjoys doing it. Or
what was the horrible one with the alligator and it kept surrounding the house? Chomp? Oh,
crawl. You're not far. You're not far from crawl. That's the Great Value brand right there.
I still haven't seen it, and yet I remember talking about it, and it seemed so hilarious. But it was a comedy, right?
It was. I mean, it's unintentional. Okay. Like if Blockbuster still existed, you know, you would have your drama, like horror, comedy, unintentional. There would be an unintentional comedy section if I owned a Blockbuster.
That would be great. Anyway. The times, they are changing. So maybe soon Adam will be able to go back to the theater, or we'll just send him in. We'll send him in like the bird goes into the mines, and we'll see if, you know, the virus is circulated in the AC. It's airborne.
I prefer to be wearing like the nuclear hazmat suit. Like, if we're going to draw parallels from that, like, instead of me being the dead canary, like, let me be.
You want a Dustin Hoffman?
Doc and Marty, like, doing the plutonium into the chamber before we time travel.
I'd rather
do that at the least.
I guess.
People are just like, ah, he's a spaceman from Mars.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so, see, we were gonna, I thought, and then we'll talk about, but we don't have another 5 hours to talk about Marty McFly, but we will.
We can.
But eventually. Eventually we will. We probably already have. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Craven.
You've been listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. Download your favorites and keep up with new episodes in the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center.